In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the first chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, let's introduce the prophecy of Jeremiah here. The author is Jeremiah the prophet. His name means God shall establish. He is of the priestly family, yet the Lord has called him as a prophet. This should give us a special sense of importance or urgency to his ministry. The Lord was not content to have him serve as a priest. Rather, the Lord said, you're going to serve me as a prophet instead. Very interestingly, he said that he set him apart unto that while he was yet in the belly. So Jeremiah forms that cadre of individuals that we see throughout Scripture that we have called our great unborn heroes of the faith. That while Jeremiah is yet as we say in our day, in utero. He is called by God a prophet. So let us make sure that we understand the implications of that, especially with the horrid practice that we have made legal in our country regarding abortion. All right, Anathoth was a Levitical city in Benjamin. And so notice that Jeremiah is from Anathoth, and Hilkiah the priests, and yet the Lord has called him out of the priesthood into the prophetic ministry. All right, so we have the duration of his career at Jeremiah's own hand here. He begins with good King Josiah, and then goes through that rapid succession of kings after Josiah that lead to the carrying away captive of Jerusalem. We also will find Jeremiah in Egypt with those who have fled. Instead of going to Babylon as they were commanded to, they tried escaping to Egypt instead. So the ministry then of Jeremiah is approximately 40 or 50 years long. He's a prophet for a very long time in Jerusalem and beyond. The date of writing is, well, depending on when Jeremiah wrote it, if he sat down all at once and wrote it toward the end of his ministry, well, then that's going to be somewhere around, 580 or so. If Jeremiah was writing as he went over the course of those 50 years, then roll that back a few years and fill it in that way. The purpose of the book is to show Judah their sin, to announce the coming judgment for that sin, to call them to repentance, and to show deliverance in Messiah and in his kingdom. Let me give you a brief outline of the book, and then I'll give you the memorable outline, okay? So we have five sections, really, of the book. Prophecies under Josiah and Jehoiakim in chapters 1 through 21. Prophecies under Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, 22 through 39. Prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem, 40 through 45. Prophecies against the Gentile nations, 46 through 51. And then Jeremiah's historical appendix in chapter 52. I don't expect you to remember that, but maybe you can remember this. You ready? Three steps. Okay, and you can remember the entire book of Jeremiah. The brazen wall, the iron pen, and the covenant of grace. The brazen wall, the iron pen, and the covenant of grace. The brazen wall is Jeremiah. He is that brazen wall that will stand up against the people of God that have become apostate, and he will teach them their sins no matter how difficult it is. He is that brazen wall. The iron pen, I think that's chapter 17 of Jeremiah, where the Lord says, the sin of Judah is written with an iron pen. And then the covenant of grace is how the Lord will bring a people like that to himself. He will send his prophet to them, whose sins are written with an iron pen, and yet he will make a covenant with them in the after days, not like the covenant that I made with them when I took them out of the land of Egypt. Instead, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will write my law in their hearts. Notice that sin will be removed and the law will be written instead. So that's how we remember the book of Jeremiah. Three steps: the brazen wall, the iron pen, and the covenant of grace. Okay? All right, so let's go ahead and dive into this first chapter and spend just a few minutes. So we have those introductory comments all the way down to verse 5, then notice Jeremiah's response. Don't we just love his humility? Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But I want you also to understand that while we have this humility of Jeremiah and reluctance of Jeremiah, it's not like Moses. You remember Moses? The Lord calls Moses, and Moses says, Oh, Lord, I am not eloquent. I can't do that. I can't speak. And finally, the Lord says to him, okay, well, I know your brother Aaron can speak well. So I'll tell you what. You'll speak to Aaron, and then Aaron will speak all those things. And then what does Moses say? All right, well, send whoever you want to send. And that's when the anger is kindled against Moses, right? In other words, the Lord is saying to Moses, you don't get to talk to me that way. Notice that it's not quite the same thing here, but the same principle stands behind it here, in that Jeremiah says, I am a child. The Lord says, don't say that. Don't say you're a child, because I'm going to raise you up a prophet. And if you think that you're a child, you'll not be able to get across what you need to get across to this nation. You have, listen, you have a responsibility to me to preach my word to them without fearing them. So don't acquit your conscience to your own self. Acquit your conscience in my presence, the Lord says. You have a message from me to bring. So don't say you're a child. Boy, that's really important stuff, isn't it? I know that there are some of you in this auditorium that desire one day to be a minister, to stand in the pulpit and preach the word of God. Don't say, I am a child. Don't say, I am weak. Don't stand in the pulpit and preach yourself. You must be a brazen wall. You must be an iron fence. And you must preach the word of God fully and faithfully in order, like the Apostle Paul says, to be free from the blood of all men. You must preach the whole counsel of God. So, Jeremiah then was set apart by God from the womb to be a prophet. Jeremiah says, I'm a child. The Lord says, don't say I'm a child. I will be with you. Do not fear their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, we're going to find out several things throughout Jeremiah's ministry that he's going to need that support. Why? Well, he's going to be tossed down into a pit and left to die there. He's going to be forcibly carried away to Egypt. The people of God are going to feign allegiance to God and ask Jeremiah, just tell us whatever the Lord says and we'll hear it and we'll obey. And they won't. Jeremiah is not to tailor or change his message with regard to the people. He's to speak for God. And he's to do so because the Lord will indeed, because the Lord has set him apart. The Lord has gifted him, and the Lord will protect and deliver him. So then, verse 11. Oh, notice the fivefold ministry. This is a little different from Isaiah. Isaiah is told what? Preach until everything's torn down. Remember that? Until cities be laid waste in chapter 6. Notice here in 1, to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build and plant. So it's six things, I guess. There is a building and a planting that Jeremiah will be a part of. Okay? All right. Now, what do you see? And so the Lord opens up his eyes to see a vision. And he says, I see an almond tree. What is the significance of the almond tree? Well, in the ancient Near East, and especially in that day, all historical studies tell us that the almond tree was one of the first to bud. And so the Lord's saying, it's coming soon. It's coming soon. I see an almond tree. I will hasten my word to perform it. The second time, there's another vision. What do you see? I see a cauldron, a seething pot in the north. A seething pot. What is a seething pot? Well, you know, it's a big soup pot, if you will, a broth pot. And it's seething. It's boiling. Boiling in Scripture means trouble's coming, right? It's raucous, it's roiling and all of that. And so, the Lord said to me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call the families of the kingdoms of the north, and they shall come entering again in the gates of Jerusalem, and so on. And so it is destruction coming from the north that Jeremiah sees. And of course, when Babylon comes as that invading force, although they are north and east, they come in from the north of Palestine. That was their route. Then finally, 17 through 19 is how the chapter finishes. Therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. And this is a repetition of what the Lord said in verse 7 and following. So the Lord doubles down here in the first chapter that he wants Jeremiah to be firm and strong with regard to the word of the Lord, that he must not preach himself nor his own doctrines, but he must stand firmly against the sins of Israel and teach them their sins. And may I say, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is a mercy from the Lord. Accusations from God, from His prophet, is a mercy. These things are mercies so that they might repent and forsake, so that they might know the right way to go. And so it is always a mercy when the Lord raises up a prophet. All right, well, we're leaving a lot there, but we're running behind, so